Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
State legislative leaders released their schedule to redraw General Assembly districts that were struck down by the federal courts. Lawmakers are likely to consider the new districts in a special session later this fall and may also consider a plan to redraw the districts for judges while they're at it. Here to talk about redistricting and to weigh in on some controversial decisions made by this General Assembly session is Representative Greer Martin from Wake County. Representative Martin, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Always good to be here. Thanks, Chris.
So as we sit here, the General Assembly is still composed of illegally racially gerrymandered districts. We've known that for a while. What's going to happen?
That's a good question. Every time I've tried to predict a result, I've been proven wrong. But here's what I think is going to happen. There is no scenario where these districts stand. They are clearly illegal, and we are going to have new districts in 2018. There is still some chance that the courts might order a special election in 2017 under the idea that to continue to pass laws through an illegally elected General Assembly is unconscionable. But through delays by the Republican General Assembly, they've pushed it back closer and closer to the time by which we would have to really get moving to have 2017 elections. So I don't know if that'll happen, but we will have new districts. The new districts would be drawn in a way that doesn't discriminate against African Americans. I'd also like to think that the Republicans drawing the districts are paying attention to the advancing litigation on partisan gerrymanders. They admitted up front that the congressional districts they drew were a blatant partisan gerrymander. I hope they're aware that the courts are starting to frown on those and that they'll steer away from doing an abusive partisan gerrymander for the districts in 2018.
Whenever they do draw the districts in the next couple months, those have to be approved.
Yes, and I think we'll learn more about exactly what the mechanism for that will be once the three-judge panel that's meeting in Greensboro this week issues an order. I think they'll be specific in what process they want to see in order to approve the districts. I think they've got good reason to be skeptical of anything that this General Assembly produces, given their past abuses, and are going to want to give a very careful look at it.
It does seem like they have dragged their feet. We've known for quite a while that these were unconstitutional.
Without a doubt. And the dragging the feet is not an accident. It is by design. They like these districts, these illegal districts, because they benefit Republicans. And so the longer this General Assembly elected of those districts continues to sit, the more advantageous it is for Republicans. So they want to delay the inevitable as long as they can.
Speaking of redistricting, there's some discussion that when the General Assembly comes back for redistricting, I guess in September most likely, that the judicial redistricting plan will be taken back up, which is seems unprecedented.
Yes, it is. They tried to push it through in the waning hours of the long session and got some pretty significant pushback from folks involved in our legal system, both Democrats and Republicans, who thought that this was a horrific idea, that if anything, we need to get off the path of making our judges more partisan and instead find a path that makes them less partisan, that makes them more neutral judges. And that's something that both Republicans and Democrats involved in the legal system, I think, clearly agree on.
Where did this come from? Justin Burr obviously is the driving force, but it does seem to be that it's part of a pattern, as you say, to make our judicial races more partisan.
Yeah, I think what the Republicans found is, to their amazing surprise, that when they pass illegal laws, that judges, both Democrat and Republican, stand ready to rule those laws unconstitutional. And so the Republican General Assembly views the judicial branch of our government, one of the three co-equal branches of government, set up to be a check and a balance on the legislative and executive branches. They view the independent judiciary as a barrier to passing the laws they want to pass to seize and maintain control of our state.
You mentioned that you hope that it'll be less partisan gerrymandered. You have been one of the champions for a long time to change the whole process. As we go forward, what do you think of the momentum to eventually take drawing these districts out of the hands of folks in the General Assembly?
Yeah, so here there's a little bit of a bipartisan good news story, a little bit of a bipartisan bad news story. But the good news is Democrats and a large number of Republicans have joined together in the House to sponsor legislation that would create a nonpartisan redistricting commission to take out of our hands the power to draw our own districts and give it to a more independent body. That legislation, in fact, a few years ago passed under a Republican-controlled House. And died in the Senate, unfortunately. But the support for it remains strong amongst Republicans in the House, but we do need to get more Republicans on board. Democratic support for it is unanimous. One could argue that that's just because it would benefit us politically. So the key will be if and when Democrats take control of the legislature, that the people hold our feet to the fire and that we follow through and pass independent redistricting if it hasn't happened already.
We recently talked to the Attorney General Josh Stein about the last-minute budget cuts to his department, and this seems to play along with a theme that we've already talked about, sort of the making things that used to not be partisan. What did you make of a budget that emerged at the last minute that cut $10 million out of, in effect, a law enforcement and Department of Justice budget?
Yeah, it was absolutely, in my over a decade in the General Assembly, one of the most childish, abusive, partisan, petty acts I have ever seen. It was done purely out of spite to the Attorney General. It serves absolutely no public purpose and actually will result in violent criminals being released onto the streets.
Senator Berger's response when it initially happened was he didn't like the way the Attorney General was doing his job, which sounds like a strange precedent.
It is within the prerogative of members of the General Assembly to have an issue with the way members of the Council of State do their job. There are ways that adults would deal with that instead of the childish way that it was dealt with in the waning hours of session.
We haven't had a chance to talk about the session. I don't want to get into too much detail, but one of the things the State Board of Education recently voted to implement a significant number of cuts that were forced on the Department of Public Instruction by the budget. What do you make of further cuts to the department and parts of our education infrastructure in a year when we had a big budget surplus?
Yeah, it's fascinating to see because even as they have a knife cutting funds to education, the Republican majority in the General Assembly will sit there and claim that they've increased funding to education, and it's a blatant lie. They do cuts to the Department of Public Instruction in the guise of cutting overhead, administrative overhead. And, you know, in concept, in theory, that sounds like a good thing. But we need to remember that a lot of these positions that they're forcing DPI to cut provide much-needed services to underserved areas of the state that, because of their declining tax base in the rural parts of the state, are having great difficulty funding their local education systems, and that the quote-unquote administrative overhead at DPI provides a strong support network for those underserved areas of the state.
Another thing that looks like it might come up in the special session, I guess in September or maybe beyond, is a raft of constitutional amendments. One of the ones most commonly discussed behind the scenes is to put voter ID requirement in the Constitution. What do you think of the idea of resurrecting some more restrictions on voting?
This is sort of the remnant of a much greater package of voter suppression that was clearly aimed at making it more difficult for black people to vote in North Carolina for the sole reason that African Americans in North Carolina tend to vote Democratic more often. The courts saw the clear racial discriminatory intent behind that and overturned that. So the Republicans have tried to scale it back and scale it back as much as possible to try to find some way to still keep African-American North Carolinians from voting, but that will somehow or another pass constitutional muster.
And finally, before I let you go, you have spent a lot of your legislative career trying to make sure that things happen in an open and transparent and democratic way. And as we sit here, we literally have a health care debate in Washington that's unprecedented with people voting to consider a bill and they don't know what's in the bill. We've just talked about last-minute budget cuts that appear out of nowhere. Where are we in terms of our government and our democracy when these sorts of things seem to be happening all the time in Raleigh and in Washington?
Yeah, where are we? Well, we're in a very hypocritical place. So many of the folks trying to cram through the Trump care legislation at the federal level are the same ones that complained about the process to pass the Affordable Care Act, which in comparison was a significantly more open and transparent process that actually did give the people being called upon to vote on it some legitimate time to read it. And the United States Senate took a vote yesterday on legislation that no one really knows what's going to be in it. So it's as if the Republicans in the United States Senate look down at the General Assembly in North Carolina and say, hey, things are going great there. Let's follow their playbook. And that's what's happened.
I mean, are you worried that ultimately people are going to continue to lose faith in our in the way our democratic system works with these kind of behaviors?
Yeah. So our country has and our state have some very tough decisions to make. And these decisions aren't ones that necessarily fall along partisan lines. How are we going to fund our road network? We don't know. Democrats and Republicans have tried and failed to figure out how we pay for our billions of dollars in infrastructure need. Whatever one thinks we're going to do on healthcare. We have tough decisions to make. So we need elected leaders who have the confidence of the public in order to lead the public into accepting some of these tough decisions that we have to make. If we behave like children, try to hide the work we're doing away from the eyes of the public and of the press, we as elected servants of the public lose the faith from the public that we need to guide them through these tough decisions.
Well, thanks for all you're doing to keep our government transparent and open. We appreciate you being with us.
Thanks as always, Chris.
Up next, a new documentary takes an in-depth look at the human cost of the opioid epidemic. Stay tuned.